Thank you. I want to recognize the World Health Organization, the Food and Agriculture Organization, for putting on this conference and co-hosting such an important issue. I'd also like to thank my fellow panelists and speakers today for making it clear how important good nutrition is to the future that we all share. There is not a single priority in health and development in any part of the world that isn't affected by nutrition. Malnutrition is an underlying cause of the disease and poverty we're all trying to prevent. But until very recently, it has been just that. It's been underlying. It's been very difficult for us to see clearly its effect. This leads me to the point I would like to make today. Through the tireless efforts of many of you in this room, we've created for ourselves a golden opportunity for the world to start breaking through on nutrition. This task ahead of us is now to take full advantage of the opportunity. Just 5 years ago, the nutrition community was not set up for success. A lot of dedicated people were doing high-quality work, but they were isolated from one another. Now, dozens of countries have developed national plans to improve nutrition. The Scaling Up Nutrition movement has provided the coordination we've been lacking in the community. And we have a strong set of 6 global nutrition targets that have been agreed to at the World Health Assembly 2 years ago. These are the raw materials of sustainable movement to drive improvements in nutrition around the world. But raw materials need to be fashioned into a finished product. And to do that, we need to set 2 goals in this community. First, we need more resources. Less than 1% of development assistance is directed towards nutrition. The figure for domestic resources is similarly paltry. There are good reasons for this. Nutrition has always fallen through the cracks between agriculture and health. And malnutrition can actually be invisible. Stunting is so pervasive in many countries that it seems like it's the norm. The impact of micronutrient deficiencies isn't seen for years. But we now know enough about the impact of malnutrition to boost our investments. And we know enough about the pillars of good nutrition to make smart investments. The second priority for our community is a stronger commitment to align from all of the stakeholders. We need a coordinated vision from the leaders in agriculture, finance, and health ministries. We now have global nutrition targets. We have country plans designed to help us reach those targets. And donor countries, developing countries, multilateral organizations, foundations, and NGOs working across many sectors need to make sure that we're working together within the structure we've created so that we can be as possibly effective as we can. The beauty of this moment is that we know more about what works than ever before. In addition, we now have examples of countries like Brazil that have prioritized nutrition for their citizens, and we've seen amazing results. So we have every reason to spend more and align that spending around the interventions that we know are effective. For example, we know that supporting and educating women, smallholder farmers, pays a double dividend. If women are empowered to make decisions about what to grow and how to spend their family's income, the evidence says that they'll make the decisions to improve health and nutrition for both themselves and for their families. For every country in the world, it's vital that we build a food system that ensures year-round access to safe, affordable, diverse diet for everyone. And women farmers are the key to realizing this goal. To take one other example, we know that breast milk is the global gold standard for infant nutrition. It serves as the baby's first immunization by delivering antibodies from mother to child. This is true everywhere in the world. In poor countries, immediate and exclusive breastfeeding will save hundreds of thousands of infants every year. In the United States, we spend $10 billion every year to treat babies with conditions that are associated with breastfeeding. And we know now that it's possible to promote very quickly breastfeeding at a very large scale. From what's happened in Vietnam, when we've seen exclusive breastfeeding rates triple in just 4 years, that is incredible progress. And it's in the places where families had media messages and high-quality counseling about the difference that breastfeeding would make in infant and child nutrition. These examples demonstrate that progress can be made across the board. Nutrition cuts across all sorts of boundaries, from low income, middle income, to high income. It cuts across from maternal health to child health to agricultural development. Fortunately, in this room, we have the leaders from many countries and many sectors. The fact that you are all here to raise the profile of what just until a few years ago had been an orphan issue is so incredibly encouraging. It gives me great hope that we will seize this opportunity we have to build a better future for everyone. Thank you.